So today's passage comes from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give you our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a larger number of priests became obedient to the faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. Okay. Nice to see everybody again. So when I was a student, like many students at my time, I was in grade 12, going to first year U. So like many students in my time, we have a part-time job. We end in a restaurant. In those days, jobs for students, there are not that many opportunities. Like today, you can probably work from home, doing web design, this and that. Some people run their business, don't even have to leave that front door. But in our time, most the students, the best job that they can find is go in the restaurant, because that's when they need more help in weekends. So I worked as a busboy when I was in high school. You know what a busboy is? See, only a few people of my age with not their hairs. I guess nowadays they don't have busboys. A waiter. Who's a waiter? Today we call servers. It sounds politically more correct. You don't call people waiter. Busboy. Busboy is even lower than a waiter. Clean up, collect the garbage, dirty dishes. So eventually I was promoted to be the dishwasher. This is 25 cents more. Busboy makes $1.25. I don't know how much waiter. A dishwasher makes $1.50. So those I mean, a lot of people remember those experiences. I mean, Simo did that as a waitress. And today we are going to look at a waiter, Stephen. We just read that now at the time. So in the last few weeks, I share about how the first church was formed from a prayer meeting, and it's full of the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a model church, right? We always look at the very first church where all the members, they live together, support each other. But slowly, there's problem in the first century church, right? Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint, sounds familiar, arose from the part of the Hellenistic Jews. Hellenistic means it's Greek, right? Greek-speaking Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So in the very first church, they live together, eat together. So the Greek-speaking Jews start complaining against the Hebrew-speaking Jews. Sounds familiar. The English-speaking Chinese complaining against the Cantonese-speaking, Chinese-speaking Chinese at church. So they have the same problem. Today, in many of the Chinese churches or minority churches. So the sheriff summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve the tables. So when I use this title, so I send it to all the people involved in the worship. So Pastor Anzik said, oh, Pastor Norman got the wrong title. It should be a faithful servant. He said, no, it's a faithful servant. Initially, I was going to put down the faithful waiter, but doesn't sound right. Nowadays, it's politically not correct. So I changed it to a faithful server. Verse 2, we read, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. The word to serve tables, well, nowadays, server, and to serve tables. To serve table, the word to serve, in verse 2, the Greek word is diakoneo, 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 diakoneo. Diakoneo meaning to minister to, render ministering office to wait at a table, waiter, right? To wait at a table and offer food and drink to the guests, to supply food and necessities of life. So it's about serving food. So I use server is a very appropriate description of Stephen and the other six. This word, diakoneo, later the church used this word for, that's the English word, looks like this, deacon. So our church used an elder system, but most of the other churches, I think just Alliance, we use, or the Canadian Alliance, we use the deacon, elder board system. Most of the other Christian churches, they use a deacon board. So they use this word and then they call it the English word deacon, D-E-A-C-O-N. But obviously, it has a quite a different meaning at that time. At that time, deacon is, diakoneo is just someone serving a table. But nowadays, deacons, they are the executives of the church. Right? They are the leaders. They are the authority of the church. So when deacon, Stephen was chosen as a deacon, if you want to still call it, it's more like a waiter. So we have to put that into perspective. So deacon and the Stephen and the other six, they were chosen to serve at the table. Verse 3. Therefore, brothers, brethren, select from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task, to be a server, waiter. So, but nowadays, when you see a deacon from another church, don't call it the waiter, right? Waiter Norman, waiter Rob, you know, don't do that. Right? It's deacon, right? But at that time, it is like a server at the table. And verse 5, the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and then six others. So what is the, from Stephen, I've learned a lot. I tend to say, even though as a server, I should not use this word even, because every ministry, every role in the church is just as important as the pastor. So I tend to say, even as a waiter, Stephen has all these spiritual qualities. So I should take back even as a server. But Stephen, he is not chosen as a church leader like today's deacon or elders or an apostle, a preacher. His job is to serve at the table. But yet, I can find at least 10, I'm not going to count all of them, spiritual qualities that we can learn from Stephen. First, therefore, brethren, select from among you seven men of good reputation. Good reputation, the word good reputation is the word from witness, a good witness. I spoke a sermon on this word before, witness. Right? if you remember, one of my, the title of my sermon is BMW. So what's BMW stand for? Be my witness. BMW, be my witness. So the word witness in New Testament, witness, is martyreo. Right? Martyreo. Martyreo is where the word martyr later on came from. So because of Stephen, Stephen was the first martyr of the church. So later on, when we look for an English word for dying for your faith, for your religion, so we went back to the New Testament. So we picked this word, good repetition, good witness, martyreo, and we coined the English word martyr. This server of the first church, Stephen, has good reputation, a good witness. So today when we look for leaders, but any role in the church, serving, we need to look for someone who was a good witness. And good witness is not how much you know in your head, how much theology, how many degrees, certificate you have, but when people look at you, do they see Christ in you? These seven men, including Stephen, they have good reputation, good witness. It's our life that people look at, not our knowledge. And the second thing we find, he is full of spirit and wisdom. Actually, I counted 10 spiritual qualities in this, just these two chapters, 6 and 7. And none of them is about whether Stephen has a MBA degree, as a good administrator. Very often when we look for people to serve, we look for skill, ability. But here, all the qualities that we're going to look at this morning from Stephen, is all spiritual qualities. The second qualities I look at here, full of the Holy Spirit, full of spirit. Very often we describe someone as a full of compassion, like my grandmother, full of compassion. I always think of my grandma as a lady full of compassion. Some people full of joy, like Simo. She's always smiling. I had to make her mad. Some people are full of energy, full of creativity, full of determination, full of peace. But also we met people who are full of himself. People who are full of rage, someone always mad, full of bitterness, greed, full of nonsense. But Stephen is a man full of Holy Spirit. Actually, this is the very first quality which is described when they select the seven person, full of the Holy Spirit. And when we look at the end of Stephen's life, it is repeated again that Stephen is full of the Holy Spirit. So when I have been preparing, studying the book of Acts this month, for a few months, and I really learned that, that's why people say Acts is really a book of the Holy Spirit. Someone came and asked a famous pastor, D.L. Moody. Someone asked him, why you always urge Christians to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit? And he said that because we are leaking, we have holes in us. That's why we need to continually to ask the Lord to fill us with the Holy Spirit. We are like this bucket here. It's not that I'm baptized, I'm full of the Spirit, but yet we are leaking. It's not that the Holy Spirit will leak from our body. This is an analogy. Because maybe at one point, we yield our life to Jesus. When we repented, accept Him as our Savior, we gave our life to Him. Or at a conference, we gave our life to Him. But yet slowly, we drifted away from Him. In the all, at one point we are full of the Spirit. We feel so spiritual. That is very often we've seen people like that. And suddenly, it's really eager to serve. It's really want to attend all the meetings, and then slowly they just drifted away. We are like this bucket. So D.L. Moody said we have to continually to ask the Lord to empower us, to fill us. It's not that the Spirit is not powerful enough. It's not that. It's just that we are like this bucket. We are leaking. We are slowly get back control of our life. So Stephen is a person full of the Spirit and full of wisdom, full of Spirit and wisdom. I really like, I always want to read Proverbs 4, chapter 4, the whole chapter. But only I put a few verses here. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, wisdom. And wisdom, she will guard you. Love her, the wisdom, and she will watch over you. I really like verse 7. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. What does that mean? The beginning of wisdom is to realize the value of wisdom. So every time when there's a small group prayer meeting, like in the Wednesday, like the combined John prayer meeting that's coming up this Wednesday, when we are in small groups, then we ask each other, you know, what can we pray for you? What can we pray for you, Pastor Norman? And if you were in my small group, prayer group, you will probably recall I always ask, please pray for that I have heavenly spiritual wisdom. That's something that I find that I really lack wisdom. Each day I don't make many decisions. Some involve things, process, programs, some involve people. It's never black and white, right or wrong. It's always, it's no such thing as right, 100% right, 100% wrong. I always have to balance the benefit and the harm, always. And I'm not always good at that. Very often, Cynthia will have me say, I screw it up again. I just need more wisdom. I make the wrong decision again and again. So we all need Just not just knowledge. We need wisdom. We may study a lot of the Bible, memorize a lot of scriptures, all those are good and it's necessary. But we need to be able to use. It's like if you learn kung fu, right? You learn all the katas in karate, you learn all the movements, but they send you to a ring to fight. If you never fight before, I can guarantee you that you will lose the fight against someone who's experienced. But what do you mean? I practiced years, I learned all this movement. If he punched me, I will do this and that. But if you're never involved in a real actual sparring or even real fight, you will lose. I guarantee you lose. You need to practice. Learning the Bible is the same. The knowledge won't help you. You need to ask for the Lord's wisdom. And Stephen is a man, person that's full of wisdom. He is full of faith, again, and of the Holy Spirit. Keep repeating, of the Holy Spirit. This man is full of faith. Stephen, when this was written, he is a young man. He's about 30 years old. He's only 30 years old, so he cannot study a lot of the scriptures. Not even today. We would not probably elect him as an elder. Probably not very experienced. He's a young man, but full of faith. The Bible did not tell us a lot about Stephen, unfortunately, but I can assure you that he is a man that's full of faith because he gave his life for what he believed. I don't know how many of you here, including myself, or someone pointed a gun at our head, asking us to denounce our faith, or we'll be shot at. I don't know what will be my response. But he's a man full of faith. He, even though he did not describe how much faith he has, but he gave his life for what he believed. We will Go on, you'll see that at the end. He is a man that's full of grace. We don't describe it often, someone that is full of grace. I can think of a few person besides my grandma, a few Christians, friend, that I can, when I come to, who is the person you can think of is full of grace. It's kind of a little bit hard to describe full of grace. My daughter's name is Grace. Grace in Greek is a charis, right? C-H-A-R-I-S, charis. Grace is when you with somebody that's full of grace, you find, you feel this joy, isn't it? You feel peace, delight, pleasure, sweetness, charm, loveliness, grace of speech, goodwill, loving kindness. You feel God. You feel like you are talking to an angel. Have you met people like that? I'm sure we all have. Not that many. We met many people the other way. I don't want to sit in the same table eating with this person. That's my boss, my colleague. I think we met more people like that. There are not that many, if I ask you to count. But I'm sure in your life, you have met people like that. You just feel like it's so comfortable. It's almost like sitting next to Jesus, to an angel. And fixing their gaze on him, these are the leaders in the council. All who were sitting in the council saw his face. Now, these are not the people who really like him. These are the people who really hated him because of what he believed, his belief in Jesus. But they saw his face like the face of an angel. It's not that he's really handsome, good-looking. Today when we say that a girl, is usually we describe a girl the face of an angel, we mean she's really pretty, beautiful. But here, they saw Stephen, the face of an angel. They see this godly person. In my life, I met a few godly person, like our ex-pastor, Dr. King, Pastor King. Whenever I talk with him, have fellowship with him, I just find he's just a godly man, Pastor King. And when I was in seminary, that's many years ago, and one time Dr. Billy Graham came to our campus at Regent College. I was studying that time. So I was sitting in the first row. I used to lean in the class. I was in the first row because if I sit anywhere else, I'll fall asleep. Right? So I make sure that I don't fall asleep. So I sit at the first row. And Dr. Billy Graham came to the campus and he wanted to meet all the students and encourage them. So that day, the whole hall was packed with students, even students from other schools. They all came. We don't have that many students at Vision. But the whole center was packed. I was sitting in the middle center, right, eating my lunch. I usually eat my lunch. That's lunchtime. Right? And then here, Dr. Graham came in. He stand about 3 feet in front of me because it's a very small auditorium. It's about 3 feet in front of me. He's standing here, he's a big, tall American. I can see his face. It's kind of almost like radiant heat coming from, almost like seeing Moses standing in front of me. I can see a face of an angel. So Stephen had full of grace, so that when people saw him, it's like seeing an angel. He not only he is full of grace, he is full of power, performing great wonders and signs among the people. Like Peter, he said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." People who cannot walk, when they come to the disciples, if they are being raised, they perform, the apostles perform miracles, like Stephen, the surfer, the waiter. Even he is a waiter, I keep saying this. He's just a surfer, he's not even a church leader, but he is full of grace and full of power. You can raise up the lame. People who cannot walk can walk again. Unfortunately, today we have silver and gold. Well, we don't have silver and gold, but we have enough finance. We have a nice church building. We have enough resources to run a lot of programs, to pay for the pastors. But yet, we don't have this power, the church today, we don't have this power to raise up people and ask them to walk. But they don't have nice buildings. They don't have silver. They don't have gold. But they have this spiritual power from the Lord. Stephen is not your ordinary waiter or server. Even though he is probably not trained as a religious leader, but he's a powerful preacher. Chapter 7, we did not read today, but you can go home and read chapter 7, the following chapter. The whole chapter is actually a sermon, a manuscript. And it is the longest sermon in the New Testament. And this server knows the Bible well, not just had knowledge like the religious leader that he's trying to debate with, but he actually has this spiritual wisdom to understand and interpret the Old Testament. He started, if you go home and read chapter 7, this Stephen's sermon, he go from Abraham all the way to Jesus, the righteous one. He covered the whole history, the salvation history of the Israel. He knows it well, and he also understands. He fear not even death that he's going to face later. But they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen was speaking. They cannot argue, debate against this server at the table. All these religious leaders, I'm sure they're much older than Stephen. You men and Stephen, fear not in front of the authority. You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did, which one of the prophets did your father not persecute? Now he's going back, recounting all the wrongdoings of all these church religious leaders. They kill those who have previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You who received the law as ordained by angels and yet did not keep it to the point. There's no Mr. Nice Guy. Even though he's a young man, we guess that his age is about between 28 and 32, so I use 30. It's a young man standing in the council in front of all these people much older than him. They're all religious leaders, authorities of his community. But he debated, and he won. And that's why they are mad, because he won the debate. It's bonus in witness. Later on, we call it the word martyr because of Stephen's witness. He understands God's salvation history. He rejected hypocrisy from the religious leader. No fear of that. They went on stoning Stephen. How sad. How sad is such a young, fine man. We would love to have him to be our English pastor, or Greek-speaking pastor, Hellenistic-speaking pastor. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He's ready. He's always ready, prepared. That's why I said that he's a man full of faith. He's willing to put his life on the line, stick his neck out, and stand up for what he believes is right. Then, falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Having said that, he fell asleep. He died. Doesn't Stephen remind us of Jesus? "Forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Even when he was stoned to death, for stupid reasons, today we will call it. But yet, he did not ask the Lord, no, strike them, punish them, revenge for me. No, he said, forgive them. They do not know what they are talking about. Do not hold this sin against them. It's full of love, forgiveness, passion. Stephen is not your ordinary waiter. He was stoned to death, but yet his death has opened up the church, opened up the persecution. And because of subsequent persecutions, all the disciples, followers, they were dispersed outside Jerusalem, into the world, into the other countries, other places. And that's how the gospel was spread. The tyrant dies and his rule is over. The martyr dies and his rule begins. And the centuries after Stephen, many more Christians became martyrs. Even today, many Christians die. Some estimated there are approximately 70 million Christians. 70 million Christians have been martyrs since the time of Jesus. And about half of those, 45, more than half of those, 45.5 million of those were in the 20th century. 70 million Christians were martyrs. 45.5 of them were martyred in the 20th century. And Stephen was the first martyr. And his life is such a powerful witness, good repetition, witness. Witness meaning martyr, martyreo, it's the same word, being a witness to us today. Today we do not have to fear, at least not yet, persecutions from our country, government, but not every country is like Canada's free. So we have to take advantage this God-given opportunity for us to come and worship, to come and have fellowship, and to share the gospel. Many, like Stephen, server Stephen, he gave his life to become a witness for Christ. And the reason he was stoned to death, because he was saying that Jesus is the righteous one. But today, at least in this country, we won't be stoned to death. But yet we are not taking this opportunity to spread the good news and be a good witness. The reason that Stephen have this power to do all these spiritual qualities that I myself to learn to be a people full of grace, full of faith. I'm a man of little faith. I will always worry about a lot of things. I worry that no one will come to the summer camp. I worry that there are too many people in the summer camp they could not accommodate. That's always worry. I worry that there's no one to drive ever to the summer camp on Sunday because they don't have a car. I worry a lot of things. We rented a bus a month ago. We put a deposit. It's a big tour bus. I worry that we may not be able to fill the bus. We still have to pay for the full bus. I'm a man of little faith, and I need to learn from Stephen, full of grace, full of spirit. And the secret, what is Stephen's secret? Stephen's secret is in the very first words we read about Stephen, that he's a man that's full of the spirit. And the secret is in the last word in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, that talk about Stephen, that he's a man that's full of the Holy Spirit. That's how we know Stephen. A man is full of the Holy Spirit. That's what I learned. I need to come to the Lord and ask him to empower me, to fill my life. I hope that all of you will do that as well. Only when we are full of the Spirit, not full of knowledge, We need to follow the Bible knowledge. Yes, we have to continue to study the Bible, but we need the Holy Spirit to help us to turn the knowledge into spiritual wisdom, into a graceful, compassionate person, to be a person of faith, to witness for him, to serve him. In Stephen, I see humility. He is not elected to be a deacon, today's deacon, to be a leader of the church. He's selected to be a waiter. And he did not say that this job is too low for me. Serving at the table, cleaning up the mess, who wants to do that? Nobody wants to do that. That's the other people's job. I have a degree in theology. Why should I be doing that? But Stephen is a humble person. He knows the Bible better than a lot of us. Yet he served as a waiter. And he died for what he believed. So I could end the sermon here, but then we would miss the most important point, which is in the last verse of chapter 7, verse 55 of chapter 7. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened up, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Here we repeat that twice to make sure that people did not read this wrong. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Repeat that again. And the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. This is the only place in the New Testament he said that Jesus was standing at the right hand of God. Or in all the other occasions, Jesus sitting next to God, isn't it? Here, Stephen saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. There's different interpretation. My interpretation, there's no one interpretation. My interpretation is Jesus always sitting at the right hand of God as a judge to people on earth. Above, he is the judge, is the Lord, is the King. But he's taking an exception here this time. He's not looking down Stephen. It's just for Stephen. It's only Stephen. Not as a judge at that moment. He's looking at welcoming home, isn't it? That's my interpretation. You can challenge it. But he's welcoming. He's standing up. Here, Stephen, come home. Welcome. This is the only time in the New Testament Jesus was described standing up there to welcome, to embrace, not as a judge, not as a king, but as a friend, welcoming him. Wow. What a glorious scene, isn't it? And even more wonderful, Stephen got to see this before he left this earth, right? All of us will, when we die, we'll go to heaven. But Stephen, he saw Jesus while he was still alive on earth. And Jesus was standing up for him. Wow. What a wonderful scene, beautiful scene, glorious scene. I don't know if we have this special privilege to be able to experience what Stephen did, but it's all willing myself to learn from Stephen as a faithful waiter serving him. Let's pray. Father, we want to entrust each one of us, including myself, into your hands. Let us all learn from Stephen. Be a humble spirit and power server of you. And let us to live faithfully our life so that we can be welcomed by you when we see you. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Norman.